The 32nd Psalm, starting verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. A wonderful psalm. And over and over and over again, you can look at these scriptures, and how wonderful that the inspired songs of the Old Testament were, written by this one by David. And certainly David was given great gifts to invent musical instruments, to invent stringed instruments, and the Spirit of God to write down such wonderful songs. You know, there's nothing wrong with musical instruments. Man gets hung up in all manner of things. But that we might rejoice and glorify and exalt the Lord in the means that He's provided and give to us. That's the way they did in the Old Testament. That's the way it's to be in the New Testament. But as he starts here, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, as we look at this, here is the very base, the foundation of our salvation. It's that what separated us from God, sin, is what has separated man from God. It began, you can find the beginning of it, way back in the Garden of Eden, as God created Adam and Eve, and He set them in Eden, and He gave them one commandment. That commandment was, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they rebelled against the commandment of God. And for whatever reason, we won't get into that today, but they rebelled against the commandment of God, and sin entered into the human race. And that's the reason, as children are born, they're not born with a tendency to obey. They're not born with a tendency to do what's good and to do what's best for them. Their tendency is to rebel from a little bitty age. When they start beginning to think on their own, they begin to rebel, don't they? You know where that's tied to? All the way back in the garden. And so it was this sin problem that the Lord Jesus came to address, that separation from God. And I want you to notice whose transgression is forgiven and sin. It's not who's got money. It's not who's got good health. It's not blessed is he who's got no trouble in this life. Man gets hung up in those natural things often. And we're hung up in what's going on in our flesh. But notice where happiness is. Happiness, and that's what the word blessed means, blessed. It's how happy. How happy is this man who's had his transgression? That word means rebellion or revolt. It's that we know what we ought to do. We know what's good and we know what's right. We know what God says. We know what the Bible says, but we're not really going to do that. We're going to rebel and revolt against what we know to be right. That's man's nature. That's man's nature as a little youngin. You tell a little youngin not to do something, and that is the greatest motivator to them to do that. You tell them no, and that makes them, in them, they want to do what you've told them not to do. That's the way human beings are with God as well. You don't have to be a child to be like that, but as God gives direction and guidance, it's in man's wicked heart to rebel against what God has told him to do. It's within man's heart to revolt against God. And you know what that brings? When you tell them not to do something and they go ahead and do it right in your face, right before your eyes, in an open rebellion, you know what they're doing? They're testing you. And you know what that brings often? It brings judgment. It brings punishment. Well, let me tell you this. That's just a little picture. That's something so I can see it and understand. But as that is, as we revolt against the commandment of God, do you know what that's bringing? There's judgment that comes along with that. That as I rebel, as I know what's right, as I know what I ought to do, and I'm going to go against that, that ought to bring judgment and punishment. And certainly, sin brings judgment and punishment. Man thinks he's free to sin, and there's going to be no repercussion for his life and for his sin. It would be like a man that you give a credit card to, and he goes crazy. He swipes it up to the very max, and he's believing there's not going to be a bill to come. You know what keeps a man from doing that? I may have a $20,000 limit, but I'm not going to spend that because I know I've got to pay for it. Well, friends, that's the way we ought to look at sin. The devil says sin's cheap. It ain't going to cost you anything. If you're going to be happy, this is where happiness is. It's in rebellion and it's in revolt. And you know, it feels good to swipe the card today. It feels good to go home with something new today, but know this, that at the end of the month, there's a bill coming. That's going to have to be paid for. There's going to have to be work done. And friends, that's where man is today. Man has rebelled and revolted against God, and sin has carried the punishment for that. Well, I ain't paid a cent today. Well, maybe if not, but it's coming. They've not forgot to send you your bill. It'll come. Well, the Lord is certainly aware of man's rebellion and revolt. And man's not going to get away with his sin. But here is a people whose transgression, whose rebellion has been forgiven. And that word forgiven, if you look it up, and it's Old and New Testament, The base of that word means to lift away. It's the picture is somebody that's under a grievous load. I think of a heavy pack that's on a man's back, and it's got him down. Maybe he's face down in the dirt and he can't get that weight off of him, and it's got him down and he needs help. And the Lord comes and he takes hold of that and lifts it away. Yeah. But you know, in that lifting, that weight's not disappearing. People think sin just disappears, that it's a magic trick. We come down to God and we say, "Will you forgive me?" And it just magically disappears. But if that happened, then how would it ever be paid for? You see, the creditor's going to have to be paid. And if they're not, they're coming to get your stuff to pay for it. Well, see, that's the way it is with God. We've rung up this bill. This bill has got to be paid. There must be payment. What is the wages of sin? What's the reward of sin? It's death. For the wages of sin is death. So the debt has got to be paid. It cannot magically disappear. So you picture yourself. You're down there with that pack on you, and I lift that off. I've taken it off of you, but now that weight is on me.
There's been a transfer of that load that had you down. Well, you know, that's what the Lord Jesus did. As the Lord Jesus came down, and as Frank said, the Word of God was made flesh. He says in the Hebrews and in the Psalms, a body thou hast prepared me. Do you know why he was prepared a body, and why that the eternal Word of God was made to be flesh on this earth? It was because sin had to be paid for. If there was going to be anybody saved, if anybody was going to be forgiven, if anybody was going to be debt free, somebody was going to have to write a check and pay that bill. You know what the Lord did? He came down in a body just like my body and just like your body, and the Lord poured His wrath, His anger, His fury, the judgment that was hanging over my head, He poured it out on Jesus, and He bore that. Amen. So what's happening? The transferal. My transgression, my sin, and my guilt is being poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see this, it's I've run up a bill, I do not have the money to pay for it, and somebody else writes me a check to pay what I owe to the creditor. That's what's going on here. The Lord Jesus has come, and He's bore the punishment, He's bore the wrath, He's bore the anger, He's bore our transgression, He's bore our sin, and He's paid for it with His own blood. Amen. And how happy. How happy that a man ought to be. That is transgression. It's not that I didn't know better. It's not that I was out and I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know that was wrong. That excuse is used a whole lot. How many times you reckon the trooper has heard, I didn't know that was the speed limit here. You know what man wants? Man wants ignorance. I didn't know any better. I sure didn't mean to, because I didn't know any better. I tell you, the Lord has made plain through His Word. We've got, He's even given us within us a conscience.
Amen.
He's given us a conscience. There's a knowledge of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, even within a man. And do you know what man does? He sins against his own conscience. He sins against the Word of God. He rebels and he revolts and he goes against God. Why in the world would the Lord be desirous to pay my bill? Well, I tell you, how happy's the man that the Lord has paid the bill that he's rung up. That his transgression is forgiven. It's been lift off of him and the Lord's put it on his back. It's been taken off of his account and somebody else has wrote a check to pay for that bill. The Lord Jesus has bore the payment that was required for our sin. And whose sin is covered? It's roofed over. It's hidden. I think about it like this. It's buried. The sin has been buried. Do you know where it was buried at? It was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. His body was beaten. It was hammered down with a crown of thorns. His body was whipped. His body was nailed to a cross. There he gave up the ghost. And they took his body down from the cross. They wrapped it up with spices. And they buried it in the tomb. Now I want you to see what's happening there. As the Lord Jesus' body is buried, so is the sin and the transgression of all those that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord got up, He got up with a glorified body. He got up a new body. He left the sins buried in the ground. They were paid for. They were forgotten. They'll never be dug up again. I tell you, the disciples and Mary, they went down to the tomb, and this is an Easter message, I guess. Wasn't planning on it. They went down to the tomb on Sunday morning, and they looked in, and He was gone. They said, "Where is our Lord?" Well, and Mary looked at the gardener. She thought it was. It was the Lord. Let me slow down. We'll miss something. Mary looked at the gardener. She thought it was the gardener. She said, "If you've taken Him somewhere, tell me where you put Him." She didn't know who He was. He said, "Mary." And she said, "Master." She recognized His voice. He had arose. But you know what was buried and never came out of there? My sin was buried right there. Amen. Right there, my sin was buried, and the Lord Jesus was resurrected in victory over them. And because the Lord Jesus died and was buried, my sins died and they were buried, and I can be resurrected in newness of life with Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, how happy ought our hearts be. Yeah. What the Lord has done, that our transgressions and that our sins could be buried and covered over. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not imputeth not iniquity. So impute. The word, it's an accounting word. So you think about the little example of the credit bill that's been rung up. You know what the Lord's doing? When He's taking an account, He's not writing up the bill that we owe and holding that against us. You know what they're going to do? They're going to send you the bill, and if you don't pay it, they're going to turn you over to a creditor, and they're going to hound you. They're going to call you. They're going to devil you. They're going to work on you. They're going to try to squeeze every cent that they can get out of you. And if they've got enough against you, they'll come and get what you own and what belongs to you to get payment. But ain't it good that the Lord, I tell you, the Lord could have done that. The Lord could have said, old Joseph Huntsinger, He's going to pay everything that He owes to me. Throw him into hell until he's paid every last farthing that he owes me. The Lord could have did that. It would have been right. See, the credit card company can do that because I'm the one that spent that. I'm the one that rung up that bill. I'm the one that signed my name on the receipts. I'm the one that said, I'll pay for that. See, the devil's got a lot of fine print. The devil don't, it ain't on the front page, 28% interest. That ain't on the front. You know where that's at? That's in little bitty print, and that's all the way at the back, and it's all the way down there at the bottom. They've already told you about all the goods you can have. They've told you about everywhere that accepts it. They've told you about how much money they're going to let you spend. And then all the way at the bottom, hidden, about half covered up, it tells you we're going to charge you 28, maybe 32, maybe 33% interest monthly, and you're going to be expected to pay it. And you know what they want? They send you the bill and they say, minimum payment, $25.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Anybody can pay $25. And the 100 that's left over, however much it is, they're going to smoke you with interest on that. And what was 125, by the time you pay it off, you've paid $400 or $500. They let you know all that up front. You know what people do? They're willing to swipe. The Lord has let us know up front there is payment required for sin. That God is going to judge sin. And it's not even in fine print. You know where it's at? You can find it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I'm not going to go through all the books. But you turn to a book, Old or New Testament, and you're going to find God. You're going to find anger and wrath. You're going to find judgment for sin. But thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came, and the Lord, instead of imputing my sin to me, He wrote it over on Jesus' account. The Lord said, Joseph Huntsinger's sin, I'm not going to charge him for that. I'm going to charge my son for that. And the Lord went to the cross now. He wasn't there to pay for his sin. He wasn't there to win a victory for himself. He went there to pay the debt that I had willingly and knowingly and hard-heartedly run up myself. The Lord paid that, and He didn't impute my iniquity to me. And in whose spirit there's no guile. I'm going to hurry along, or I'm not going to get halfway through with this scripture. So the word guile, it means hypocrisy. So there's no hypocrisy in this man's heart. Now, a hypocrite, bad word. People hate that word. So let's just say what it is. It's an actor. It's somebody that maybe Tom Hanks. He's going to play a military man in a movie. You know what he's going to do? He's going to act. And the good actors, they're able to put on such a show that you believe that person is like that. See, that's what a hypocrite is. They're an actor. They come to the church. They come before God. They live before people. And it's a show and it's an act and it's fake. But you know, this person, there's no guile. And we'll see that as we get on down in this scripture. Just bear with us for a minute or two. So David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wax old through my roaring. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." So what's happening here? There's conviction of sin happening here. He says your hand was heavy. The Lord was at work in David's heart. And you see what it did? His bones wax old. That sounds strange to me. But you know what's happening inwardly? David's drying up inwardly. His moisture, that means his vigor or his strength, was drying up. God's conviction. Now I believe we can see a scriptural example of this in Acts chapter 2, here on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter's preaching the gospel here, the day that the Spirit came down. And the Bible says this at the end of his message, Acts 2 verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So you see how Peter's message here, as the Spirit moved him to preach, it was more than just words. It was more than just something that said, I hope to God there's been something today that has pricked our heart. But there's a work that's going on inside of people. As this gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit is at work and He's pricked their hearts. He's jabbed their hearts. You know, He calls the Word a sword, the sword of the Spirit. He's run a sword into their heart. You know what they want to do now? The Lord has pricked their heart and they say, what shall we do? Look, there's something wrong with me. Something needs to be done. You know, that is a result of God working in the heart. If you've been saved and you say, well, in order to be saved, I came to the altar and asked God to forgive me. Not even say I accepted God into my heart. But you know the truth? What got you to that point was the hand of the Lord being heavy upon you. The hand of the Lord was pricking your heart. There was a conviction of sin that was coming on. And I was a young man, and I'll just tell you what happened to me. I was on the ball field, and I was on the ball field with lost people. A pile of lost people. And a lost boy who, best of my knowledge, is still lost today. He said, Joseph, you ever been saved? I'd never thought twice about that question. Always thought I was. But you know, those words that day, though I had been asked that before, though I may have even responded to that before, that day, those words pricked my heart. There was something that happened within me. And I said, no, I've not. That was a revelation to me. I never really knew that before. But now I was aware. How did that happen? It was the pricking of the Holy Spirit in my heart. There was a sword got me that day. And you know what I did, just like these folks did? They said, I'm going to have to do something about this. There's something in our lives that we need to get fixed. I tell you, that's the way the Lord works. The Lord's hand was heavy upon David. And do you know what David started to do? He started looking for a way to get fixed. I need to get this taken care of. And the Lord works that way. And He's doing that to bring man to Jesus for salvation. It's conviction. It's persuasion. God persuading the heart of man of where that he is and the need that he has. So they say, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the means for this sin problem to be taken care of. There's nobody else that has the bank account to pay the bill that you owe. If you've run up a bill and somebody's going to pay it for you, this is so elementary, and bear with me, as foolish as it may be to say, if somebody's going to pay your bill, they're going to have that money in the bank. If they don't have enough money to cover it, then they're not going to be able to pay it all. See, that's the problem with sin. The earth was searched. Beneath the earth was searched. The heavens were searched. And there was no man found worthy. Let's just change the way that's worded so we can see it a little plainer. He searched the accounts of every man, and nobody had the money to pay the debt. There was not one found. Why, preacher, that was only then. Whatever you want to say, if that's what you want to believe, that's fine. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that it was searched, and there was no man. There was no per... And man... Now listen. Man doesn't mean man only. But mankind. There was no... You could say it like this, and it'd be saying the same thing. There was no human being found that could pay this bill. And then do you know what John the Revelator saw? He looked and he saw a lamb coming out of the throne of God, having been slain before the foundation of the world. You know what the lamb was doing? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb came because there was nobody able to pay the debt. So if you've got a sin problem, there's only one person that's got the bank account that's able to pay that bill. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the man that gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. He's the only means for your sins to be paid for. Amen. He's it. There is no other place. Well, preacher, I'm going to save and I'm going to save and I'm going to save and I'll pay it up. But here's the problem. What saving we do today, with every sin, our bill grows that much more. And if you're just going to sit down, you know what I can do at the end of the month? I can take my statement and I can see everywhere there was a charge to my account. I can see how much it was. I can see who took it out. What if I sent you home with a book and said for the past 3 months, I want you to write every sin you've committed. Every vile thought, every idle word that was inappropriate, every action that you took, I want you to make an account ledger for every sin for the last 3 months. You know where I'd be? I couldn't get past today. Because so much of it is, it's done without even thinking. We are so sinful. Don't ever think you're going to do enough good and pay for all the bad. It'll never happen. Can't happen. It's already been searched. And God already said there was nobody able to pay it. And that's why the Lord came. So the Lord's here. The Lord's hand is heavy. His moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I believe Frank said this before. Remember, these were songs. That word Selah, it's musical instruction is what it is. It means to pause. Maybe the singing stopped right there, and they played a little on the piano or a little on the harp, and then they picked back up singing. But how does that apply to us? I believe you could say this. You know what I ought to do right there? I ought to stop, and I ought to think about what's been said. He's going to build on it a little more, but I ought to recognize that what got me to the very start, what got me to the place that I was looking to be saved was the hand of the Lord from the very beginning. And so, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So remember, in this man there's no guile. There's no hypocrisy. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come before God. And when he says confess, it's open hands. Outstretched open hands. You know what he's doing? He's bringing it all to the face of the Lord. He's not trying to hide. He's not trying to cover up. He's not trying to get God to think or get the church to think that he's something or that he's good or that he's righteous. God forbid we ever try to look righteous of ourselves. But you know what he's doing? He's coming open and he says, I'm going to lay out all my sin before God. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to acknowledge what I really am. I'm going to not hide a thing, but I'm going to lay it out open before the Lord. Preacher, I'm not willing to lay it out. Then you can't be forgiven. Because in the spirit of the man that's blessed, there's no guile. You're going to have to come without hypocrisy. You're going to have to be willing to lay out before the Lord what you really are. You don't have to tell me what you really are. It don't amount to a hill of beans to me. But you're going to have to confess it to the Lord. You're going to have to lay it out. Listen to this in the book of Leviticus. Chapter number 26, verse 39. They that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquities in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. So what's happening? Their sin is being held over them, and they're pining away. They're withering up. You know what I can do? I can pull a clump of crabgrass out of my flower bed and I can throw it over on the asphalt. You know what it's going to start doing? Pining away. It's slowly, it's gradually drying up and the life is leaving it. That's what people are doing in their iniquities. You know, that's easy to see a man laying in a bed, his breathing becoming labored, his temperature going up and down. It's easy to see death right around the corner for somebody in that condition. But know this, mankind as a whole, whether he's young or whether he's old, his iniquities are strangling the life out of him. They are bringing him down into judgment. They are continually ringing up a bill. Why, preacher, I've had this card for 2 weeks and I've run up $3,000 on it and I ain't got the first bill. That's what man thinks with God. God's not charged me a thing. I've not had a bit of trouble. I'm just going to go right on sinning. Well, friends, you do that, but know that there will be a judgment for every bit of it. There's not been one iniquity that God's overlooked and missed. We're going to pay for every bit of it. So what ought I do? I better come and acknowledge what I am. I'm pining away in my iniquities. But listen to this in verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass that they trespassed against me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the hand of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember. I want you to notice what's going on here. The children of Israel are being brought to a place that they say, I have sinned against God. I've walked contrary. I was on the other side walking against God. I was marching against Him. Revolting. And because of my iniquity, the Lord has brought me to this place that I'm in. There's an acknowledgement of that as well. My sin is what's got me here. Sometimes, and you know, Job was a good man. I believe that. I believe the Bible will bear witness of that. But you know what there was in Job? There was a little bit of a heart of, God's dealt unfairly with me. I ought not to have been put in this place. But boy, when you get out the account ledger book and you look at what I owe God, where could God put me and be just and righteous in doing so? Where could I be today? We could, everyone, have lift our eyes in hell this morning. It is only the goodness and mercy of God in Jesus Christ that we've not raised our eyes in hell in the past. And so here, God is saying, if you'll come, if you'll acknowledge, if you won't be a hypocrite, but if you'll say what you really are, if you'll be willing to come down from your high horse, if you'll be willing to lay your sin out before me, then the Bible says here, thou forgavest the iniquity. Well, I'm going to have to look and see how much you owe. He didn't say that. My favorite scripture in the Old Testament. Joseph was ruler over Egypt, and the famine was coming, and Joseph for the last 7 years had been laying up grain and storing up. And as everybody begins to starve out, the Bible says Joseph opened all of the storehouses. And do you know how much there was? There was enough for 1 year. There was enough for all 7 years of famine. The whole world in that area, they ate off of Joseph's storehouse. And I believe when the famine was over and the Lord began to bless the land again, Joseph had left over in the storehouses. He never ran out. He never shut the door. That's the way the Lord Jesus is. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we'll come before Him, He'll forgive us of that. You cross me far enough and I'll have a hard time forgiving. And you're the same way. If I do you just enough wrong, you'll never forget it. You'll never forgive me. Though you may say the words, it'll always be in your mind. Man can't help that. But the Lord in Jesus Christ covers them over. They're buried and they're done for. They'll never be brought up again. And I tell you that the wickedest sinner, the wildest revolter against God, that in Jesus there is salvation for every one of them. So listen, for this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. You know when man's going to come. When is man going to pray unto Him? Well, by the word here, when He comes forth, when He appears, when He meets with, or when He's present. That's what mayest be found. That's what that means there. So, we're going to pray to the Lord at a time when He's present, or when He's appearing. But I believe you can look for this. He's referring back to the verses before. Why is man going to cry out to the Lord? Because the Lord's hand has been heavy upon him. The Lord Jesus said it this way, and I believe every one of you will be familiar with this scripture. No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. The Lord's going to have to be drawing. The Holy Spirit is working in the heart of man. And you know this, that those that the Spirit draws, those that the Father calls in their heart individually and effectually, the Lord Jesus will not turn any one of those away. So if the Lord's calling, I ought to come to that call. Is that not right? If the Lord calls, I ought to respond, because there's forgiveness and there's mercy. And there's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these words. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto Him. So I believe you could see this. We've got these dry riverbeds out west. There's a lot of that in the Middle East as well, where David was. And the rainy season comes. And those dry beds where there's been no water all summer, but when the rain begins to fall, they flash flood. They rise up quickly. And they're mighty and they're very damaging. Well, see, that's what David's saying here. But even the floods of waters. Listen, let's look in another place. In Isaiah, I believe Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know what this is? This is a complete deliverance. Not only am I delivered from the destruction that's yet to come in hell, but I've been delivered in this life. That the Lord has plucked me out. And you know what He's going to be? He's going to be with me. Though sorrow comes, though sadness comes, though trials come, though hardship comes, though I do stupid things and punishment for that comes, the Lord is ever with me. And you know what the Lord's trying to do? You know what I say as I wear my youngins out? I say, look, I want you to know how you're supposed to act. You need to know how to act. I want you to act like good young men in the world that you live in. You know, that's the Father's will for His church, that we live and act like His children in this world. We ought not act like heathens if we belong to the Lord. You don't want your children acting like heathens, because it's a shame, ain't it? Lord have mercy, what a shame it can be, the way they behave and the way they talk and the way they act, and you want to hang your head. Let's see that the Lord, our actions can bring shame on the reputation of the Lord in our world. And the Lord's raising children, instructing and guiding and leading them. The Lord is my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Well, we sung some of those songs today, didn't we? We can sing, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. We can sing victory in Jesus. We can sing my sins are gone. We can sing I'll have a new body. We can sing. You know what the Lord's done? He's given us a new song. He's given us a song of victory. He's given us a song of deliverance. He's changed our heart. He's changed our life. And He's given us joy that we've never had before. And we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Not because we're high and mighty, but it's the Lord Jesus that is with and that is keeping and that is protecting. So listen, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So what's happening here? The Lord has saved. The Lord's brought into His family. The Lord is protecting. And now the Lord is guiding and instructing. He's not letting His children run wild. But the Lord is there overseeing them. And to guide, it's to point or aim at with the finger. You know what the Lord's doing? He's showing us where to go. He's showing us how that I ought to live. And do you know how He does that? By, as Frank said, the Spirit of God that indwells our hearts, and by the Word of God that He's instructed us with. David says in the 119th Psalm, and I assume if you use the same pledge to the Bible, you say it 5 times every year in Bible school. Its words will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. And again, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. You know what this Word of God is? It's that that illuminates. It's that that shows me what pathway I'm on. Because you know what the devil is continually doing? He's laying out a trap for me. You see the picture of the fowler that's laying out a trap for the birds. They're laying out a trap for the coyotes. You know what they're wanting to do? To bait them into that for their destruction. Well, the devil does that. Not with a trap at the bottom of the steps. No, but with situations that we're put in day by day. You know what he's doing? He's trying to bring us down. He's trying to harm us. He gives us decisions to make. And friends, if I get outside of the Word of God, if I start doing what I think looks good and what I think looks right, if I start following the intuition of my flesh, I'm going to err. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And so the Lord is the one that is trying to the hearts of man. The Lord is the one that is testing what's really inside of a man. And so here the Lord's instructing, the Lord's pointing, the Lord through His Word is telling us what we ought to do, and God help us to hear. Be not as the horse or as the mule, who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You know, the horse and the mule, they don't have reasoning. I can tell my dog, go get your ball, and he'll go tear the woods apart, find it, and bring it back to me. He can do what I tell him to do, but he can't reason. Though there's some intelligence there, there's no reasoning that's there. And you know what I've got to do to keep him in line? I've got a shock collar. That's all he'll respond to. I can't say, don't go over there, you're going to get killed. I can't say that. He can't reason. And so there has to be some means of control. Well, you know what they do with a horse and mule? They put a bridle and they put a bit on them to control them. And he says to me, don't be like the horse. God forbid that the Lord have to put a bridle and a bit on me to keep me in line. You know what I ought to be as a child? I ought to be somebody with reasoning. I ought to say, Father, I see everything that You've done for me. I see how that You've loved me. I see how that You've provided for me. I want to do what You would have me to.
Amen.
I want to be obedient. Oh, the Lord can put a bridle in my mouth. The Lord can make me do what I don't want to do. Preacher, I don't believe that. Well, we've got a great example of it. We've got Jonah. That Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to preach to that people. I'm not going to go before them. They're an evil people. They don't deserve forgiveness. I'm running away. And he did. And he ran. And he went down into a ship. And he was going down to Tarshish. And the Lord had a storm ready for him. And the Lord had a whale ready for him. And you know what the Lord did to Jonah? The Lord got Jonah down so low that Jonah said, Lord, if You'll let me out of here, I'll go to Nineveh the second time. And he did. And he didn't like it. He still didn't like it. But he went. You know, the Lord can make us. He can. He can make us like He did Jonah. But wouldn't it be so much better if I'd submit to His Word? If I'd say, Father, You know better than I know. You know what's really right. You know what's really good, and I don't know anything. Let me not be as a horse or as a mule without understanding, but let me hear Your Word. Let me hear Your instruction, and let me, you know what James says? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Do you know what it is to submit? It's to be subordinate under. I'm going to put myself under. You could say it this way. I'm going to let God be the boss. Who is the boss most of the time? In your individual life, who's running the show and who's calling the shots and who's making the decision? Very rarely is it the Lord. In truth, very rarely is it the Lord that's the boss. But He says, don't be like the mule. He says this in Proverbs, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the mule's or for the fool's back. You know what they've got to be? They've got to be directed. The foolish man will not take warning. He will not hear the Word of God. He will not submit to it, but says, I believe this is all right the way that it is. And he goes right on, and the Lord has to bring the rod to him. The rod of correction. One more place in Proverbs. I'm almost done, I promise. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are punished. How is he seeing the evil, the prudent man? How does he see the trap? By the illumination of the Word of God. If it goes against the Word of God, if it's contrary to God's Word, know this, it's a trap. It's not of God. There's no blessing in it. If it's contrary to God's word, there's no blessing in it. There's no good going to come from it. My life is not going to be benefited by it. It's a trap that my enemies laid out there for me, desiring to entrap me. God, help me to take warning. Let me hear the Father's commandments. Let me hear His word and submit to that. Submit myself unto God. Not like the horse or the mule. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. I can tell you this from personal experience. If you're going to go contrary to God's word, there's going to be sorrow result from it. If you're going to do what God says to do, it's not going to bring good. In the end, the bill's going to come and will result from it. You know what's happening to the wicked? They will not be instructed. I am not going to listen. I'm not going to acknowledge. I'm not going to yield myself. I'm not going to submit myself to God's authority. I'm going on the own way. I'm going to make my own decision. I'm going to step in this trap. I don't care what God says about it. And you know what they do? They're bringing sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow upon their own lives. I tell you, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Is it not hard? Oh, but the Lord. The Lord's calling. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We heard a little bit of that today. You know what I ought to do? I ought to rejoice in the Lord that has saved me. I ought to submit myself under His instruction. I ought to subordinate myself unto His word. Lord, You're the boss. I'm going to do as You're told. I'm going to do as You would lead me. I'm going to do as Your word would say. God, help me not to make an error. Help me not to bring sorrow upon my own life and upon my family. I'm going to follow You. And let us as a church, let us rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. Give Him the glory as He is so worthy and fitting.